just so glad to be a disciple of Jesus, aren't you? I'm so glad he is at work in me, shaping me to be different. I know very well that my own negative thinking and speaking would take me down and out if it wasn't for Jesus. Because we live in a world where there's a lot of negativity and a lot of unbelief. Actually, we're bombarded by it. Most days, every day, really. You know, through the media, through non-Christian friends and family and work colleagues, even unspiritual Christian friends and family and work colleagues. You know, there's just a kind of hidden unbelief and negativity that's running under the surface all the time. And it undermines our faith. It can undermine our faith. And as I was thinking about this, you know, we need to counteract that with this. The Word of God is powerful to counteract every voice of unbelief, every voice of doubt, every voice of negativity and pessimism and all that melancholic stuff. But we need to use it. And that is really what the message is about this morning. As I was preparing this message, I was reminded of a testimony of mine from years ago. I went on holiday to Spain with Pastor Judith and Sam. We hired a villa in Spain, and it was in the mountains. For those of you who've heard this story, bear with, because it is relevant to the message. But basically what happened, to cut a very long story short, in the middle of the night, I was bitten by a snake. And I thought it was a bee, in all honesty, because we'd found a nest of bees in the garden. And I felt this, you know, sting. Yeah, I felt this sting on my foot whilst I was in bed in the early hours of the morning. I screamed, threw back the sheet, saw this thing wiggle. Yes, it was quite dramatic. But it gets even more dramatic. So I hobble into Pastor Judith's room, not quite believing what was going on. And I said, I'm screaming, it's a snake, is it a snake? It's a snake. Are you sure? I saw it. So she got out of bed, sat on the edge of the bed. So bear in mind, I'm watching. We actually watched and saw the poison travel up my foot. It was traveling up, I can't remember which leg it was, but it was traveling from my foot up my leg. And she said, in the name of Jesus, stop. And at that point, it stopped. You could actually see on my ankle, it got to my ankle and didn't move any further. At which point she screams, Sam, get the barbecue tongs and find that snake. So I've still got a vision of Sam in her pyjamas running to get the barbecue tongs and then running into this my bedroom like, what's going on? Pastor Judith then promptly fainted. Back on the bed. So there's me sobbing, looking at my foot. Sam's running around with a pair of tongs. It was very dramatic and quite hilarious looking back. But what happened then? I was sent to the hospital. We called the manager of the villa who lived down the road, and he said, do you have a venom sucker? We replied, no. You know, it's not on my top 10 list of things to pack in my overnight stuff, a venom sucker. So he said, right, we need to get you to the hospitals. Anyway, I got to the hospital and I was put on a drip of anti-venom for 6 hours. It was a viper, actually, a baby. Apparently, if it was an adult, it could have been far worse. But thank God it was only a baby. And so they put me on this drip of anti-venom for 6 hours. And I was lying there and this lady stayed with me through the night. But the thing is, the reason I'm relating it to the story, actually, you know, we are surrounded by this kind of mixed cocktail of unbelief and negativity, and it's toxic. It's poisonous. And we need to counteract it with a daily dose of this. This is our antidote. But unless we take it, you know, we will be affected by the unbelief and the negativity. We need this. This is what we need to counteract the effects of that stuff that's actually really damaging. We don't quite realize how damaging it is in our thoughts, in our speaking, in just our whole attitude towards our lives and other people. So we need the Word to transform us by the renewing of our mind. And if we could have the scripture, please. You probably know this well, but I'm going to bring it back because it's relevant. Okay, can you read that there? It says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, I like the Message version of this, which says, don't be so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Change from the inside out. Now, Pastor Judith last week brought a fantastic message on the power of a conquering mind. And I know a lot of you said, that's exactly what I needed to hear. And so I'm going to do a follow-on this week, the power of thinking and the power of speaking the truth, God's word, the power of thinking and speaking the truth. And as I was thinking about this message, my Bible flopped open at Psalm 51, and I read verse 6, and it says, that scripture says, behold, you desire truth in the inward parts. And when I read that, I kind of saw it in a new light. I read that as God desiring truth in these inward parts. The inward part of my head, my thinking. He desires truth here in our thinking. We're fearfully and wonderfully made, the Bible says. God's made us. We're made by him and for him. And Psalm 139 actually says, we're fearfully and wonderfully made. As human beings, we don't have an inbuilt design fault. We're actually made to work well. We're made to work amazingly well. But there's only one way we work amazingly well. And that is in relationship with God. In contact with him. Dependent on him. And problems arise for every single person when they try and live independently of him, because it's not the way we're designed to be. We're actually designed by the Maker to be in relationship with him, in cooperation with him. So when we try and live independently, actually we malfunction. We break down. Things break down. We feel strained. Relationships get strained. Nothing seems to work well. But when we do it God's way, when we live our lives God's way, things start to work. It's like oil goes into the machine. Things start to become more smooth. It's not that we don't have challenges. But as we were reading this morning, if we will allow Jesus to lead us, he will always lead us in triumph. He will always lead us from defeat into victory so that we inherit blessings. God desires good things for us, actually. 1 John, I desire that you prosper and be in health just as your soul prospers. He wants you to prosper and be healthy physically, in your soul, in your thought life, in your speaking, every single part of you. But this is meant to be our manual, not just a doorstop or something gathering dust in your house. It's actually meant to be your manual for life. And we need to read it, think it, speak it. Read it, think it, speak it. Just say that with me. Read it, think it, speak it. And do it. Don't forget the do it part. Read it, think it, speak it, do it. Because it's the doing, actually, that brings the change. Now, this is what God said to Joshua in Joshua 1, verse 8. He said, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Now, here's an interactive bit. I want you to turn to the person next to you and speak that out over them. Speak that scripture. Take it in turns to speak that out over them. If you're not sitting near anybody, speak it out loud over yourself, but just declare it over somebody. Okay. Does you good to speak the word. Our success in life, it doesn't depend on chance. It doesn't depend on talent. It doesn't depend on what you know and who you know. Who knows, you can be the cleverest, most talented, well-connected person and still be miserable and unsuccessful at life. But it's as we listen to his voice and follow him that actually he connects us with the right people. He gives us wisdom to make the right choices. But it's this daily relationship with him through reading his word that affects us. Like that drip, you know, it affects how we start to think and see the world, think and see ourselves, and how we then speak. Because what we think and speak is vital. What you think and speak is vital. Everything about us and around us is shaped by what we think and speak. Just think about that for a moment. Everything around you is shaped by what you think and what you speak. Your mental and emotional health, the state of your relationships, the happiness of your children, your performance at work, the list goes on and on and on. Our thinking and speaking shapes things. It determines the outcome of things, where you end up and how you end up. It's absolutely vital. The power of God is available to us, but he wants us to co-work with him. Co-work with our thoughts and our emotions. And the very first thing we need to put on in the morning when we wake up is not the kettle, you know, before your feet touch the floor and you get out of bed. We need to put on that helmet of salvation. Our first thought needs to be, Jesus, you're in me. Whatever I'm going to face today, I am facing it with you. Greater is he that is in me. I mean, just think about that. The greater one is in me. Yes, there might be some challenges. You know, yes, there might be some unforeseen things that I didn't anticipate. But you're with me. I don't have to just handle this on my own. You're with me. Praise God. If we could have the next slide. We need to start the day then mindful of him. Really with a victory mindset. And for those of you who may have been a Christian for a long time, you need to come back to that. Come back to starting the day with a victory mindset. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Whatever your day looks like, I can do this through Christ who strengthens me. And it's the word that develops it in you. I know you know this. I know you've heard it many times, most of you. But gosh, we need to hear it again. Because hearers of the word, it's no good. Just hearing the word, it's no good. We've got to hear it and do it. Hear it and speak it. And, you know, just kind of listening to this message is not enough. Just liking the idea of having a victory mindset. It's not going to happen. It happens through the daily putting the word in. Drip feeding the truth of God's word into your heart and into your mind. Basically, we need to submit our thoughts to the Lord at the start of the day, or we will submit them to the enemy. It kind of happens by default. If you don't submit your thoughts to Jesus, you will submit them to the enemy. The enemy will fill whatever Jesus doesn't fill. If Jesus isn't filling your head, your thoughts, the enemy will. So let's put this in real terms then. If your thoughts, if you haven't submitted your thoughts to Jesus and you get a negative symptom in your body or a negative thought in your head, your first kind of temptation is to worry. You worry about that pain, or you worry about that feeling, or you worry about that thought. And if the enemy's thoughts are free to roam around in our heads, we have a terrible day, or a terrible week, or a terrible year. Or, you know, if we don't ever address it, you have a terrible life. You know? A constant, you live on this constant roller coaster of emotions, don't you? Up and down and picking up the pieces of bad choices. All because you didn't address the negative thoughts that went round and around in your head. And there's a really important point that I want to get over this morning. And that is, the enemy's real. God is real, but the enemy is real. And we are at war. And I don't want to make you frightened of the enemy, because there'll be some of you in this room, your devil's too big. Let me put it to you like that. Your devil's too big and your God is too small. You've got it the wrong way around. And you need to change your thinking. You know, some of you may have more fear and respect for the enemy than you do for God. God is greater. God is stronger. God can trounce him through us. But it's cooperating with our right thinking and our right speaking. We need to defeat the enemy with the word of God. If you hold this up, the enemy will retreat. He will, because he has to. Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. I've written this down here. If we will hold the word up in our lives, you know, get it into our heads and into our speaking, the word holds us up. That's my testimony. When I hold the word up, the word holds me up. And there's the most brilliant scripture in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, that says, Christ upholds all things by the word of his power. He upholds all things. I fall into that bracket. So do you. He upholds me through the word of his power. So if there's no word in me, there's no being upheld. If there's no word in me, I will crumble. If there's no word in me, I can't defeat the enemy as much as I'd like to. I got to get the word in me. Christ upholds me through the word of his power. So getting his word in really needs to be our priority, as much as natural food. I imagine most of us here put eating as a pretty high priority on the list of things to do in a day. You don't forget to eat for 2 or 3 days, do you? No. Okay? So imagine prioritizing the word of God as much as natural food. We'd be transformed, wouldn't we? Absolutely changed from the inside out. And there's weapons that get formed against us. There are. Because the enemy's real and we are at war. There's weapons that get formed against us. But we need to know the word and declare the word to defeat the enemy. Because he's not a natural enemy. He's supernatural. And it takes a supernatural power to defeat him. In our hearts, in our heads, in our mouths. In our hearts, in our heads, in our mouths. I have taken the liberty of drawing a picture of you. There you are. There's your heart, there's your head, and there's your mouth. And whatever is in your heart and your head comes out of your mouth. Have you noticed? You've only got to stop and listen to yourself to really know what's going on the inside. You know, if worry is in your heart and in your head, it's going to come out your mouth. If judgment, criticism are in your heart and in your head, it's going to come out your mouth. But if the word of God is in your heart and your head, it's going to come out your mouth. If faith's alive in you, in your heart and your head, it's going to come right out of your mouth. You'll speak faith into situations. And Proverbs 18, verse 21 says, the tongue has the power of life and death. Did you know that? You and I have been given the God-given ability to speak life or death, to loose life or death. So every time you open your mouth, you are either going to loose life or death. You have one of two options. So when someone asks you, how are you? That simple question, how are you? You are either going to speak life or death over yourself and your circumstances. And the problem is we all want to be honest, don't we? You know, we don't want to kind of live in denial. We want to be honest. We want to share the real picture, the problems and the challenges we're facing. That's okay, as long as you have got a but God at the end of it, okay? Amen. Think about that. Every negative in our lives needs a but God. We get a promise from God and we lift it up over the problem, over the circumstances, and we speak it over. So, you know, you might say things are a bit difficult financially at the moment, but God has said this. Yes. I've got this health challenge going on at the moment, but God has promised me this. My kids are going through a difficult phase at the moment, but God has said this. You see, you need to talk the promise more than the problem. Just say to the person next to you, you need to talk the promise more than the problem. Because if Christ upholds all things by the power of his word, what word is upholding you then in that challenge? What word is upholding you in your situation? We need to stop. You see, there's a cycle, there's a flow going on. And it goes on whether we're aware of it or not. And we need to stop the flow of death and start a flow of life. In fact, just say that to your neighbor. Stop the flow of death and start the flow of life. Okay, now, I'm going to take a bit of an unusual tangent now with the message, but stay with it because it is relevant to the message. And we're going to consider Israel for a few moments. Romans 11, verse 17. In fact, there's a picture that I want you to look at. There's a scripture that says that we as Gentiles or non-Jews are like a wild olive tree that have been grafted in to the original root. The original root is Israel. So every promise of blessing that God has spoken over Israel, because we've been grafted in, we now inherit. We, the church, okay, the blessings God's spoken out of over Israel now belong to us, the church, and you, the believer. Okay, it's really important that you get that. Every promise of blessing spoken over Israel belongs to us, the church, and you, the believer. And there are four promises of blessing over Israel that they believe and speak and that they see fulfilled. Natural Israel sees the fulfillment of God's promises blessing over them. And I'm just going to highlight these. It's amazing. So please keep your attention with this because it's amazing what we can see. The first promise that God has given them is that they are protected. They're a protected people. Israel is a small country. And I've actually found a map of the UK with Israel superimposed on it. I don't know if you can see that. But I was amazed. It's the blue section there near Wales. It's actually not that much bigger than Wales. It's actually quite small. You know, all this kind of fighting that goes on for this small piece of land. It's amazing to realize it is only quite a small area in comparison to the other massive nations that are around it. We're going to look at that in a minute. In that land, there are 6 million Jewish inhabitants. But if we look at the actual map of Israel, I just want you to see its real neighbors, its real borders. There are 175 million people against them. 6 million Jews, 175 million people who don't like them and don't want them there. Syria, one of its borders, ISIS is there. They've got a real stronghold in Syria and they are hell-bent against the Israelis, the Jewish people. Lebanon, its other border, Hezbollah is there. It's a political and military group of Shiite Muslims, and they are looking to drive them out. They've got Iran. Where are we? It's not bordering, but it's pretty nearby. They're now developing nuclear weapons. Their president got up not so long ago and ranted and raved in the United Nations saying, we need to drive these people off the face of the earth. And yet they're protected. ISIS cannot destroy them. Hezbollah cannot destroy them. Al-Qaeda cannot destroy them because they are protected by the sovereign hand of Almighty God. Psalm 91 says, I will be with you in trouble. I will deliver you and honor you. With long life, I will satisfy you, Israel, and show you my salvation. As it is with Israel, folks, so it is with us, the church, and you, the believer. The word of God in their thoughts and their mouths protects them. The word of God in our thoughts and our mouths protects us, our family, our stuff. Come on. We got to be not so passive with the word of God. We need to believe it and speak it. We shouldn't be people of fear. Yes, the enemy's real. But, you know, for some of us, God is about this big and the enemy's about this big. It's got to switch around. We need to hold up the promise in faith. He will command his angels concerning me. You know, guard me in all my ways. No matter who or what is coming against you, we need to declare the word of God. No weapon formed against me will prosper. Every tongue that rises up against me in judgment, I will refute. That's a promise. We need to hold it up. Get it in our thinking. Get it in our speaking. Number two. Second promise over Israel, they're prosperous. Did you know that? When the land was given to them in 1948, it was recognized as a state, as a country in 1948, it was absolutely barren. All those countries you saw around them, they're barren, they're desert countries. Not a lot grows there. Yet, in the years since Israel has taken over the land, it started to produce. It didn't grow anything because the only water they have to irrigate the land is salt water. And yet the word of the Lord in Isaiah 35 is the desert and the parched land will blossom. And do you know what it has? If you go online, you can read these articles about sand becoming land. The desert has burst into life. It is a fertile ground. You start to read the kind of stuff that it produces: citrus fruits, olives, dates, flowers. Did you know that Israel is the number one exporter of flowers in the world? The desert has burst into bloom. That's the promise. That's the promise, and it is fulfilled. I was just, out of interest, looking at my shopping, you know, the other day, and seeing where stuff came from. It's amazing. Dates from Israel, nuts from Israel, this from Israel, that from Israel. And I just thought, this is it. The word has turned the land around so that it is producing. God has given them wisdom to know how to irrigate the land. And actually, they have more than enough to feed themselves. And they export $2 billion worth of food every year. $2 billion. I can't even... How many noughts is that? I can't... That's a lot of food they're exporting. They're protected and they're prosperous because of the word of the Lord. They believe it and they speak it. Number three, they are passionate. They're passionate about who they are. They're passionate about who their God is. Their God is our God. They just don't believe in Jesus yet. Okay, but they're passionate about their God. And we don't see too many Orthodox Jews walking around in Taunton. But on a few times, a few occasions I've been in Exeter, you see a few there because there's a Jewish synagogue actually in Exeter. And if you see them walking down the streets, just going about their normal business, going into shops, going into restaurants, they kind of look a bit unusual. They wear the big hats. They have the curled hair, don't they, coming down at the sides. And they look different. But they couldn't care less what they look like. They couldn't care less what people think about them. Pastor Judith and I were on a plane once. And at a certain point in time, they went to the back of the plane with their prayer books. Them, their kids, their wives. And they start to pray, and they stood at the back near the toilets, and they just took their Bibles out, and they started to pray, and they rock, and they pray, and they rock, and they pray. They don't care who's looking. They don't care what anybody looking thinks about them. They're passionate. They're not ashamed. They're confident in who they are and who their God is, and we need to learn from that. We need to take a leaf out of their book. We shouldn't try so hard to blend in. We need to learn from them. God is at the center of their lives. They live by the word. They really live their lives by the word of God. And if he is not at the center of your life, you need to make some changes. You need to get passionate about him again. It's not about your house or your job or your latest project. Passion for him. He wants some passion for his presence, some passion for his word, some passion for his church. Really, the only way to live for God is 100%. The only way to live for God is all out. That's where the joy is. That's where the freedom is. That's where the life is. Finally, number four, they are a prepared people. They live prepared because they are so aware of their enemies. They're so aware that enemies really want to wipe them off the face of the earth. And they are not given an option. When they turn 18, they're immediately drafted into the military, girls as well as boys. And they're taught to fight. They understand they have to be prepared because they have an enemy who wants to destroy them and their nation. They don't have a problem with recreational drugs and alcoholism because they don't have time for that. And that's meaningless in light of who they are and where they are. They live focused and they live alert. Now we have an enemy and we are at war. Don't we need to live focused and alert? You know, there's a real war on for you, your health, your mental health, your relationships, your stuff. And Jesus warned us, the enemy wants to kill, steal, and destroy everything good in our lives. So we need to live prepared, church. We need to live focused and alert. Let me ask you this question. Are you prepared? Or do you walk around kind of unaware in this fog of, you know, natural life, just bringing everything down to natural things, naturally minded, naturally responsive to things? I just really want to bring a kind of wake-up call this morning to say that we need to live spiritually minded, aware of the enemy, aware of God. God is greater, but we need to align our thoughts and speaking with him. You know, when your thoughts start spiraling, instead of worrying, pray. When you're talking down and you can hear yourself talking down, stop it. Talk up. Talk the word. You know, instead of thinking like a civilian, start thinking like a soldier. Put your armor on and think like a soldier. I love this. God has enlisted us as soldiers. 2 Timothy says that. And you know, soldiers, even when they're off duty, they never forget who they are. They're still soldiers because they're trained. There's some built-in responses in them. So no matter where they are or who they're with, they've still got a soldier mentality. And it shouldn't matter where we are or who we're with. We need to keep a soldier mentality. Don't take the armor off. You know, live in a way that will please the one who enlisted us. God wants us to live prepared, prayed up, passionate about him. Don't wait for a problem to hit before you start to pray. That's called carnal Christianity, natural Christianity. We need to live prayed up, aware the greater one is in me. Walking around, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Don't come to church to be entertained. We come here to bless God, but also to be trained. To fight and train to win. Because, you know, if you ignore the war, it doesn't go away. If you ignore the enemy, it doesn't go away. We need to stop. You know, children, they think if they put a coat over their head, it'll all go away. And as adults, we can kind of behave like that at times. We'll just kind of stop thinking about it and it'll go away. Well, it doesn't. You know, the enemy doesn't go away if we ignore him. He goes away when we hold up the word of God to him and say, he that is in me is greater. No weapon formed against me will prosper. And we need to connect with the one who equips us to fight and win every battle. So my question this morning, just to sort of finish with this, is really, how are you living? If this is a wake-up call, how are you living? How are you allowing yourself to think daily? Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Are you living like a civilian? Caught up with the affairs of this life with a kind of Sunday Christianity thing going on? Or do you live every day? Yes, aware of the enemy, but also aware greater is he that is in me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Final scripture, Romans 13 and verse 11. And it says, and do this, knowing the time, that now it's high time to awake out of your sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. It's time to wake up. Wake up to the enemy. Wake up to the reality of the spirit realm. You know, his works of darkness, let's throw them off. Throw off every weight that hinders and sin that entangles. The Bible tells us not to be unaware of the devil's schemes. And one of his biggest schemes, I think, is to get us thinking defeat, speaking defeat, thinking failure. You know, all the negatives. Our salvation, that verse 11, our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. One day we will all stand before God and give account of our lives. So we need to wake up and we need to clean up. We need to clean up our thinking and clean up our speaking. Clear up what goes on in your head and your heart and your mouth and speak from His perspective. I honestly believe our greatest days are ahead of us. As a church, you know, as the world gets darker, and it is, you know, the kind of things that go on in our world, it is getting darker and more hostile. But as that happens, the light in us needs to shine brighter, church. The voice of hope, the voice of freedom, the voice of life needs to come through us. But it won't unless we get our thinking right. You can't expect Jesus to come out unless Jesus has gone in. We need to, like that anti-venom drip, get the word of God in so that you speak life. Now I'm going to finish with a brilliant song. I'm not going to break into song personally. This is a video that goes along with this song. And it's a brilliant song. It's by a man called Toby Mac. And it's called Speak Life. And I really hope that this ministers to you as much as it has to me.
If you would like any further information on Kingdom Faith Southwest, please contact us on 01823 664 186 or overseas visitors 0044 1823 664 186 or log onto our website at www.kingdomfaithsw.com.